presence, Lord.
In your presence,
I am content.
I am content.
In your presence,
in your presence, every love
expression,
expression of your love.
Thank you, Lord, for honoring us with your presence, because your word has already told us that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there in the midst of them. Thank you, Father, for what you are set to do in our lives. This morning, encourage us. Open our eyes to see you as you are. Touch us in a special way. Breathe upon your word. Give your word life. Give it expression. Give it application. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that no one of us here or those listening online will remain the same after this fellowship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a clap offering for the choir. The we're wonderful. God increase your anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. Good morning, church. I just want you to congratulate the person to your left and to your right for being in church this morning. This is a mark of matured believers. When it rains in Lagos and you're able to come to church, it means you are matured a bit. Because some people are turning under their duvet now. The sleep is going to gear 5. But you said, no, I must be in church. May God meet you at the point of your needs. May your expectations never be cut off. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Brother Shemu, for the prayers you raised. Thank you, choir, for that song. Our help is in the name of God, is in the Lord. There couldn't have been a better song this morning relating to the message I want to share. I've titled it, well, I have so many titles, I don't know which one to give it. The Testing Ground. The Testing Ground. I think I will stay with that. The Testing Ground. I was wondering whether I should call it the Valley of Elah. The Testing Ground. Let's go with the Testing Ground. Some of us may not be aware of that phrase, the Valley of Elah. But I'm sure we'll be familiar with the story I'm about to reference in connection with this message that I want to share. Why I thank Brother Shehu for raising that prayer is because we all acknowledge that we are in very challenging seasons. Very challenging. I saw a video skit. I think it was done by Rufai Hosseini. How many of you saw it? He wants to fill the tank of his car. Is he a thief? And he doesn't fill tank anyhow. And Waka now is by design. You don't move about anyhow. So you go to the filling station, please just put 5,000 naira for me, okay? We're in very challenging times for individuals and for us as a nation. And one may refer to the time that we are in, or the times that we are in, as the valley of Elah. But I chose the testing ground. I just want you to ask the person next to you, have you passed through the testing ground? Don't wait for the answer. The story is in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it is a very well-known story. The story is in the valley of Elah, where King Saul and the children of Israel encamped on one side of the valley, and over on the other side, we had the Philistines and their champion from Gath called Goliath. If you haven't read the story in your life, or you have never been to near a church, I'm sure at least you would have heard of David and Goliath. That's where the story came from. These two people were on either side of the valley of Elah. And I tell you that that valley of Elah is the testing ground. One thing the testing ground teaches us is that you will not walk into your destiny without a battle. The testing ground is where you face your fears. The testing ground is where your heart is tested. The testing ground is where your motives are sifted. The testing ground is where your loyalty is questioned. Some of us, our loyalty to God has not been questioned yet, though. It's in the testing ground. The testing ground is where you are tested to full capacity. And I wish I could announce to you that you go through the testing ground only once in your life. But that's not the case. That is not the reality. You will face the testing ground over and over and over in your lifetime. It's not a prayer, but it's a fact of life. The testing ground that I'm facing now in my 50s is not the testing ground, or the tests, let me put it that way, that I faced in my 20s, not the tests that I faced in my 30s. Certainly will not be tests, the test I will face in my 60s, in my 70s, and in my 80s. But one thing is for sure, we will be tested. You know, as I've said sometime in the past, the faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. There's going to be the trial of our faith. But God is always faithful. God is always powerful. God's grace is always sufficient. God is more than able. Can I hear someone say amen?
Amen.
So going back to the story, on one side is King Saul, and on the other side, you have the Philistines and the champion from Gath. I just want to give us context to understand this story. In that particular century, the average height of the male was 5 feet, 1 inch. That was the average height of the males in that century. So let's say the average height of the armies of Israel was 5 feet, 1 inch. While on the other side, Goliath is estimated to be 9 feet, 9 inches. Have you ever been anywhere near around these NBA players, these basketballers? None of them. I don't know if any, but hardly any of them is even up to 9 feet. Talk less of 9 feet, 9 inches. That's almost 10 feet. The Bible tells us, I did the conversion, that the armor that Goliath was wearing weighs about 68 kilograms. The armor he was wearing. A bag of rice, a full bag of rice is 50 kilograms. Then add another 16 kilograms to it. That is what he was wearing. The armor. The head of his spear that he was holding was about 3.5 kilograms. Yes. And the story lets us know that in this valley that they were standing, there was a standoff. There was a stalemate between Goliath and the armies of Israel. Then into this story comes a young man called David, who is just running an errand for his dad. Let me call his dad Mr. Jesse. Mr. Jesse sends David, his son, who was not a soldier. In fact, he was a shepherd boy. The Bible makes it clear about that. Who watches over his dad's sheep. Mr. Jesse sends David from the sheep field to do what? To take provision to his brothers. Bread, cheese, milk. So he says, go, take these provisions to them and bring me back word as to how they are faring in the battleground. So David goes, and when he arrives, have you read 1 Samuel chapter 17? It's about something verses, very long. So I'm just trying to break it down, and I will just focus on the portion that we need so that we can understand. So I'm just trying to give us a synopsis. Where did I stop? So David goes and finds his brothers. He goes into the camp. When he arrives there, he finds out that everyone is geared for battle. They are all prepared for battle. But there's no battle. Have you seen people warming up? They've been warming up for how many days? 40 days. Well, yet there's no fight. The armies are at a stalemate because every 40 days, Goliath will come out and taunt the armies of Israel. By the way, again, I think we need to understand this. This was the custom of those days. Eh? In those days, you know, Israel, Philistines could go to battle, and everyone goes into the battle, and there will be dead bodies all over the place as a result of the fight. Alternatively, the two sides can say, okay, you choose somebody. We will choose somebody. Let the two of them fight. If this one defeats this one, then the ones that are defeated will acquiesce, will surrender, and they will serve us. And when they do it this way, they save a whole lot of bloodshed. The alternative one I shared with you now is what happened in this instance. Choose one side, choose one person. I just want to keep things in perspective. Did I mention to you that the man Israel was against, that the Philistines chose, is 9 feet, 9 inches? Keep that in perspective. And every 40 days, twice a day, he stood and shouted at the ranks of Israel. Okay, so let's go to it now. So are you following me so far?
Yes,
1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me read from verse 8. He stood, who stood? Goliath. And shouted to the ranks of Israel, why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, that's Goliath, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all the children of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Literally speaking, Saul and all Israel were paralyzed. And here comes James Bond. Sorry, David. David shows up with bread and cheese. And he just observes what is going on in the camp. He's only been in the valley of Elah for minutes. Only for a few minutes. And what has caused everybody to be paralyzed for 40 days is the same thing that spurred him to action immediately. As a background, Saul had offered two things to anyone that would face Goliath and kill him. He said, if you face Goliath and kill him, number one, I will offer you my first daughter. My oldest daughter, you will get to be the son-in-law of the king. The second offer he made was that if you get to kill Goliath, you will live tax-free. Tax-free for the rest of your life. You will not be subjected to any form of taxation. If you live in Lagos, you know that this is very attractive. You'll enjoy fuel subsidy. You will enjoy electricity subsidy. You will not pay VAT anymore. No payment of personal income tax. That's enough to go into war. So Saul tried his best to put something out that will motivate someone to respond. David responds. Did you hear me? David responds. But does not respond based on the reward. David responds on what is right. Let me tell you, church, your motivation will affect your elevation. Whatever it is that motivates you in life will determine how far you will go. Whether it's God that motivates you, or reward that motivates you. I've heard business experts say a number of times that if you want to go into business, don't go into business for the money. Do business for the passion. David could have gone to the camp, entered it, see what went on, and kept his mouth shut. And then come back to his father and say to his father, they are having a stalemate inside the camp. The champion of Gath, that man, is 9 feet 9 inches. Remember the story of the spies? 10 said, ha, if you see the giants. David could have told his father that and said to the father, the good news is that there's nobody dead yet. Yeah, people that went to battle, no dead person. But the bad news is that nothing is happening. There's paralysis all over the camp. Church, you've got to know that in the day we live, you don't stay neutral. You don't stay neutral. You must choose a side. You must choose a side. The day we live in demands that you choose what side you are on. No casual Christianity. You must choose a side. If you do not choose a side, the enemy may soon have you for mincemeat. I want to let us know that Goliath is still looming today. And is looming larger and larger and larger. On a daily basis, is edging closer, closer and closer to our turfs. In fact, 1 Samuel 17, we are told that this battle happened in Shokor belonging to Judah. So if you had read the previous chapter, Shokor belongs to Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Judah. If you had read the preceding chapter, it will let you know that in the previous battle, the Philistines took over Succoth. So this battle we are talking about is not happening on a neutral ground. It's happening in the ground of the Israelites. And for 40 days, twice a day, Goliath says the exact same thing. And the response is nothing. No one makes a move. And then David comes into the scene and then makes a move. David asks one question. Did you hear me? David asks a question which nobody else in the past 40 days asked. Somebody who came to the battleground and had just spent minutes asked a question that in 40 days no one had asked. Let's go to it, right? 1 Samuel 17, now this time, verse 20. 1 Samuel 17, verse 20. And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took the provisions and went, as Jesse had commanded him, his father. He came to the encampment as the host was going out to the battle line, shouting war cry. And Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. And David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage and ran to the ranks and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, behold, as he just came to them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, which man did they see? Goliath. When they saw the man, they fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, if you have a paper Bible, please mark this. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Please underline that. Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David said to the man who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? And David asked the question that I talked about. If you have your Bible again, also underline it. What was the question? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Hold on. This thing has been going on for 40 days, Abby. Twice a day, Goliath comes out. That is how many times? 80 times. And the first time David gets to the scene, he asks the question that no one else ever brought up. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of Israel? David is the first one to raise a theological question. A question from the perspective of God. Brethren, let me put it this way. This is the deal. We have two ways we can look at life. Somebody listening to me? We have two ways we can look at life. We have two ways you can fight the giants in your life. The first way you can look at life is to look at it a little bit of big English, but I will explain it. You can look at life anthropologically. Anthropology is the study of man. And that is why we underlined it. What did the men of Israel ask? Have you seen the man who has come up? Another way we can look at life and deal with the giants in our lives is to look at life theologically. Theology is the study. Oh, what did I say about anthropology? It's the study of the science of man. Theology is the study of the science of God. Two ways to approach life. You look at life from man's perspective, or you look at life from God's perspective. Saul and the armies of Israel saw the man and they talked about the man. They were preoccupied with the man. But David is the first one who talked about the giant's theology. Today we have lots of believers who have become anthropologists. We are studying the science of our problems, the science of our challenges, the science of our issues in life, rather than studying the ways of God. When you keep your eyes focused on your problems and your challenges, your problems assume a size that might be too big for you to handle. But when you keep your focus on God, God is amplified bigger and bigger and bigger, and He surmounts your problems. Whatever you focus on gets enlarged. Saul and the armies of Israel focused on the size of the man. David focused on the size of God. Saul and everyone saw a 9-foot-9-inch man, a champion who was well armed, who was strong, who was endowed. David looked at someone who was not in covenant with God. And then he asked this question: who is this uncircumcised man defying the armies of a covenant nation? We've got to get into our spirits. God doesn't look at our challenges. Did somebody hear that? He doesn't look at our lives the way we do. And our dear Mudukwe tried to share that this morning during the fresh anointing. He doesn't look at things the way men look at things. Men look at things from the way they appear. God looks at things not from the way they appear. Oh, remember just chapter 16. David was about to be anointed king. Samuel heard that the one who will be king is in the house of Jesse. So he took his oil and went to Jesse's house. I said, "Mr. Jesse, I'm come here to do a very important thing. Call out your sons." And Mr. Jesse started calling them out. Remember, all of his sons are soldiers. As they came out one by one, a soldier's view, this must be it, this must be it. He wanted to pour the oil. God said, "No. This one must be it, this one must be it." He wanted to pour the oil. Until, is it 7 or 8 of them? I can't remember now. 7 of them came out. And Samuel began to wonder, did I hear God well? Or God made a mistake? Mr. Jesse, are these all your sons? There's one who is, he's not a soldier now. He's not a soldier. He's a shepherd boy. He's a shepherd boy. He doesn't fit the beat. He doesn't fit into the description of who should be a king. He said, just call him first. As he came, God said, pour the oil. Men look at the outward appearance. I, God, I look into the heart. someone probably has to get this today. You are judging your situation totally by the outward appearance. I don't know what that Goliath may be in your life. It could be a debt you are owing, and the debt is growing. Interest is mounting, and it's looking too big, and you are saying, will I ever be able to pay off? Your Goliath could be a deviant child that is not responding to discipline. You have dragged him to church or dragged her to church. You have brought prophets to pray over the head of the child. You have done all manners of things, but things don't appear to be changing. Your Goliath could be a health issue, or it could be a challenge you are facing in the office. Your boss just can't seem to see anything good in what you do. Your mates have been promoted, but you have been stagnant. I don't know what your challenge is. But God is saying, take another look. You are weighed down because you are looking at your situation from the way it appears. Meanwhile, God has a different perspective on the situation. And I tell you, brethren, I tell you, you will always be dismayed. You will always be perplexed until you bring God into the situation and the equation. I remember, yes, the story of this young boy. This young boy, him and his dad went to plow a new farmland. They wanted to make it ready for the farming season. So in that land, there were rocks that they needed to take away so that their land can be ready for planting. So the boy was taking away the rocks, and eventually got to this big rock. He tried to move this rock, he couldn't. He pushed it, the rock did not move. Used his shoulder, he did not. He turned to another big wall. He used his leg on the wall and tried to push with his back, the rock would not move. And his father was watching him from somewhere and said, Son, move that rock. Use your strength, son. And the son replied, Dad, I'm using my strength. He started trying again, tried to push. The thing was not giving way. The father would scream from where he is, Son, use your strength. The boy would reply to his dad, Dad, I'm using my strength. He did it several times. And the dad this time around says, Son, use all your strength. And the boy, getting irritated, said, Dad, I'm using all my strength. And the dad said, No, you are not. You haven't asked me yet. What was his dad saying to him? My strength is for you to use. How many of you have watched or ever used to watch Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? When they ask you a question and you don't get the question, they ask you for your lifeline and you call somebody. God is not your lifeline when you fail or fall out of options. God is your lifeline even before you begin. Until you invite the Father to help you in your situation, you are not using your strength. You are not using all your strength. And I ask you this morning, are you an anthropologist or you are a theologist? Too many things on my head. I didn't talk about the issue of circumcision. Talking about perspective. The armies of Israel and Saul were looking at the man. David came and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? When a boy turns 8 days and is circumcised, that act of circumcision is a sign of covenant with God. Circumcision is a sign of covenant. What does covenant mean? God is saying, I'm with you. Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. I will remain with you till the end of time. I'm in you and you are in me. That is what covenant is all about. So when David was saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You now understand what it meant. Who is this man that is not in covenant with God? As a nation, we have so many challenges that are looming large. To be candid with you, it does appear that Christians are losing ground. Is it not? Is it not? But we should be asking the same question that David asked. Who are these uncircumcised people who are not in covenant with God? God has told us, those who bless you, I will bless them. Those who fight you, I will fight them. Those who curse you, I will curse them. It's a matter of time. Is somebody hearing me this morning? So every one of the armies of Israel is saying, have you seen this man, this giant, who is 9.9 inches, 9 feet, 9 inches, and whose armor is weighing 68 kilograms? Davis is saying, who is this guy that is not in covenant with God? Considering your challenges, what is your debate? Is it how big your problem is or how big your God is? We're in the Valley of Elah season right now. As individuals or as a nation. And there are giants taunting us. There are giants begging us for a showdown. And that is why I say Goliath is roaring. How many of us know Goliath is roaring? He's roaring. In Nigeria, he's roaring. Whether you like it or not, it is. And in our lives, in the past couple of days, weeks, months, he's been roaring. And sometimes this roar can be very intimidating. Brother Shehun got up here to pray and said, some people are giving up. People are getting tired. Where is God? But I want to tell you this morning that you don't fight fire with fire. Have you ever seen where fire is about to be put out and it's fire that they used to put it out? Never. Never. When you are a child of God, you let God fight. Did you hear me? You let God fight. The Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are what? Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. And I declare over your lives this morning, everything that has exalted itself in your life over the knowledge of God, I command it to come down now in the name of Jesus. You will triumph. If you are not aware, Christian morals are gradually eroding. And I don't want yours to. I want you to stand tall, regardless of how the giant is looming. I want you to stand tall. Christianity also is being persecuted. They say it's the most persecuted religion. Being 116 or 160 nations. United Nations statistics. 116 or 160, I can't remember now. Have reports of Christians being persecuted for their faith. Christianity has become an endangered religion. But why am I sharing this? Why am I sharing this? We must be somewhere that whatever happens, we should be able to stand and defend our faith. You know, time. How long have I spent now? In the first and second century, was when there was the most persecution on the early believers, and that was when the church experienced the greatest growth. Then in Rome, when you said you wanted to be baptized, automatically you are a candidate for death. Then Nero, the king then, used to burn human beings and light them up as human torches to light up his garden. Though he was doing that, the church was still growing. Did you hear me? Who did you say you are serving? Who do you believe in? Christ, or you are bringing? They pour whether kerosene or whatever, they light the person up, and he uses it to light his garden, one after the other, but the church was growing. But today's Christianity is the Christianity that does not want to face any form of opposition. The slightest form of opposition, people are cowering. I don't tire. What is sue me? The slightest challenge, see rain, the church is half. Where are the people? Oh, it's raining. I can't come to church. Brethren, are you listening to me? It's not a prayer, but things are going to get worse. The scripture says so. As the days progress, things are going to get darker. The enemy is going to be more determined. That is why every one of us should understand that we are approaching our what? Testing ground. Where our faith will be tested. If it's not already been tested, trust me, it is going to be tested. Let's take, for instance, Nigeria gets declared an Islamic nation. They sign into OIC. You heard somebody say it now on social media that the agenda was to get Muslim. Then after this, it's going to be all the way for the next 20 years. Didn't you hear it? You think they are playing? But when it gets darker, will you still be able to stand for your faith? So every situation we face, you might want to look at the situation theologically. You might want to. You have a deviant child. Rather than give up, why don't you find the time to go into the bedroom of that child when that child is there or when the child is not there? Lay hands on the bed and make decrees. Lay hand on the shoes. These shoes will not take you where there is no God. Lay hands on the things and make pronouncements. That is one way to look at things theologically. Is there a challenge you are having in your office? Rather than cry, where is God? Where is God? Get to that workplace early in the morning before anybody gets there and make declarations. Make declarations. And remind God that you said, whatsoever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. What I lose is loosed. Why don't we have confidence to do these things sometimes? It's because somehow we feel that our standing is not right. Yes, indeed, the scripture says it. You can only revenge every disobedience when your own obedience is complete. That is why there's a need for us to walk circumspectly as much as we can on a daily basis. Let me close because of time. So much we could draw from this scripture. But let me close. The Bible tells us, let me close with this, that David picked up five stones, five precious stones. I don't know why he picked five. There's so much conjecture about it. Some have said five is the number of grace. Maybe. Some have said five is because he recognizes that after Goliath, other Goliaths will come. In fact, Bible scholars tell us that Goliath had four other brothers. So maybe he expected that after Goliath, the four brothers will come after him. So he picked five stones, Goliath plus the four. But whatever is the reason, I don't know. Well, listen to me. He picked five stones. And the scripture tells us that as David put the stone in the sling, what did he do? He ran towards Goliath. Imagine the shock. Imagine the shock that Goliath would have had. 9 feet, 9 inches. This one that is like a pygmy. That his country and his nation, they have been paralyzed for 40 days. They couldn't move. This little boy, and from the news that he's getting to me, he's not even a soldier. He's a shepherd boy. He's running towards me. Hey, I will have this boy for suya today. Imagine the shock. The Bible says that David ran towards Goliath and released the sling. And it hit his temple and it fell flat. I want to ask you a question. Do you think David was that good? I will tell you why I asked the question. Archers, marksmen, people who face targets, they will tell you that for you to get targets, you must concentrate, you must be still, you must aim to be able to get it. But this young man was running and released it. You know what my answer is? I think it's both. It's both. The young man had gone through years of training. But that he got Goliath is not necessarily because of his training. What I think is that when he released the sling, God held the neck of Goliath. That Goliath couldn't turn, couldn't dodge the stone. And God put velocity in the stone. I don't see how a stone can kill a giant. But God gave the stone the velocity of a gun bullet. It hit his head and he died. What is the lesson for us? David did the best he could in the circumstance. And he left the rest for God to do what only God can do. When you have done the best you can, you have fasted, you have prayed, you have done things diligently, you have done all that you can, it's time to leave it to God. Let go and let God, and God will complete the job for you. Shall we rise to our feet? Are you here this morning and you are facing a giant? Like I said, I don't know what that giant is. That giant could be your in-laws. It could be your landlord. Something that is giving you sleepless nights. We'll begin to pray in a moment, but before we begin, I think you are even in a far worse position if you are facing giants and you have not surrendered your life to the biggest giant of all. Why do I call him the biggest giant of all? The Bible tells us he's so big that the earth cannot contain him. But yet, his greatest desire is to dwell in the inside of you. Is to come into covenant with you. When you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you enter into covenant with him. He begins to live in you. That means you become a magnified giant that the enemies can never be able to face. If you're here, you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, I announce to you this morning that all you are doing is that you are fighting your wars yourself. The Father is saying, invite me. Use my strength. Use my strength. My strength is available for you. Come and use it. If you're here and you want Jesus as your Savior, very quickly just raise that hand. Wave it at me. All I want to do is I want to pray with you. I just want to pray with you and welcome you into the family of God. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Nothing. I took that decision on a particular day. I did. Everyone else who is not raising their hands, they had to do it on a particular day. Maybe you have been brought into today's service for this reason. Do not let this opportunity pass you by. Is there anyone who's taking that decision saying, Jesus, I want you? Or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus? Yes, you have surrendered your life, but you have been fighting your battles alone and you have ignored him. He has not had anything to do with you and your battles in all of these months and all of these years. Is there anyone here? Okay. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you. Lord, we give you glory. The rest of us, I just want us to lift up our voices. And say, Father. Oh, you are not saying like somebody who's in warfare. Father.
Father.
Today.
Today.
I dethrone.
Every giant.
That is standing in opposition to the fulfillment of my destiny. I bring them down now in the name of Jesus. Every giant that has erected a blockade in my life. Every giant, I bring you down in the name of Jesus. Whatever you may be, whoever you may be, I bring you down in the name of Jesus. Ramaka sonda kalia, randos kende ketele brande, rakuta yakatele brande kete. Everything standing in opposition to the fulfillment of my destiny. Today, hear the word of God. Hear the word of God. Come down. Come down. In the name of Jesus. Fall flat. In the name of Jesus. I release the word of God. I release the word of God. I command you to come down in the name of Jesus. I release the word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. I release you in the name of Jesus. Come down in the mighty name of Jesus. Makuta sinda kata vrende kete le brande kete jakata le brande makota li brande kete. Oh mashanda kata, Thank you, Father Lord. Thank you, Father Lord. You giants of ill health, I command you to crumble in the name of Jesus. You giants of lack, I command you to crumble in the name of Jesus. Mako shanda kata, ne makande kende kete, ne makande kende kete. You giants that abort relationships, I command you to crumble in the name of Jesus. Maka shanda kata, brando brando brando, ne makande kete. You giants that are taunting me day and night, I command you to be silent in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to understand something. The people that have skins on, skin, that are standing in opposition to you, they are not your enemies. They are not the ones. That is what we learn from this story of David and Goliath. That champion of God standing before David was not the enemy. It was the spirit behind him that was the enemy. And it's called the spirit of Goliath. And what does that mean to us? As matured believers, we will learn to begin not to look at our problems from the face value. Deal with your problems from the spiritual angle. Mother-in-law tormenting you is not her. There's a spirit behind it. Child that is deviant is not him or her. There's a spirit behind it. Boss resisting you is not him. There's a spirit behind it. Stop looking at men. Look at God. Look at God for help. I want you to lift up your voices and say, Father, going forward, in every situation and circumstance I find myself, help me to see them the way you see them. Open my eyes, O God, and give me victory that is eternal in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, whatsoever the Lord does is forever. Give me victory that is eternal. Help me to see things the way you see them. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, help me to see things the way you see them. Help me to surmount my challenges. Help me to pick my battles. Help me to fight my battles properly, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that I will fulfill destiny. That I will be a giant slayer in the name of Jesus. Help me to be a giant slayer. Let every giant come in my way. Let them always fall flat in the name of Jesus. Give me eternal victory in every situation and circumstance I am confronted with. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. Accept our thanks, O God. Blessed be your name. Almighty Father, we have lifted up our voices. Hardly anyone standing before me now, or rather standing before you, those who are here physically or those watching online, there's hardly anyone who's not facing one giant or the other. In unison, we have lifted up our voices. Lord, come and fight our battles for us. Help us to defeat the giants in our lives. Help us that their defeats will be devastating. For them to fall flat and never to rise again. The same way you helped Goliath, help us. Father David stood before Saul, and Saul said, "You are just a little boy. The one you want to face has been fighting wars all his life. How dare you, a small boy, think you can face such a giant?" He said, "When the bull came against my father's sheep, the bear, I killed that bear. When the lion came, I strangled the lion. Lord, open our eyes and help us to magnify the testimonies in our lives. Help us to see as you see. To know and understand that one with you is a majority. After all, your word said, greater is he in us than he that is in the world. Greater are they with us than they that are with them. Give us this understanding, O God, to face the challenges of our lives. Let our victories be permanent, and let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.